today's kind of athlete is about like immediate gratification. And like, I feel that, and it's kind of conversations I have to have, like they have to understand it's a process. For an athlete who starts working with you, typically how long does it take before you start seeing positive impact in their performance when they're on the ice?
Well, almost immediately. I mean, I can tell you, like, honest to God, within the first 2 weeks, someone starts doing level one of the focus training. Within 2 weeks, they're already starting to see a difference. Within that time, I'm also starting to introduce now the game day mental rehearsals and getting them to understand why they're doing it.
So, one thing that Derek always says is that victory loves preparation. And my kind of take on that.
I say some good shit.
You do. You're full of them. You get most of them from me, but some of them are your own. I won't hold you down.
You were like, hey, it happened. And what did we talk about afterwards? It happened, let it go. But how can we make sure this just doesn't happen again?
Yeah.
Like maybe stay in your net.
No, it was the right play. I just fucking just bounced.
Well, that's the reason, right? Like that would be the answer. If it's game seven of a final, would you have gone and done that? Probably not. You will stay here.
Like, no, I'll take the breakaway.
How about that goal you gave up on ESPN from 200 feet away?
No,
they fix that one.
Camera angle doesn't really show it right, so I don't know what happened.
I got a couple camera angles of that one. They're just in the. They're ready to go.
There's two camera angles, and none of them show the puck going in the net. They just show me.
You know, the best part about that goal was it was your dad that sent me the video, and he's like, "My kid sucks."
We have to have my dad. We have to have my dad on the podcast because he might be the most brutally honest hockey dad in the world. Because although he believed in me, he also did not believe in me at all. So we got to get him on the podcast.
That sounds a lot like my dad.
There's more conversations with Robin.
How come this comes out now and not when we were working
well,
together?
Well, see, I didn't know these things till after. I didn't know these things because he would tell Derek, and then I was just – my dad was always like, you're doing great. Just keep battling. And then behind my back, he's like, this guy's garbage. Yeah.
You know what, Derek? I just don't see what they see. I just don't think he's very good.
This is like after I signed an NHL contract. So I'm pleased to welcome our guests for this podcast, Bob Broden. So Bob is my mental coach. He used to be based out of Winnipeg. He's now in Calgary.
In Calgary.
He is the creator and owner of Align Your Mind and someone who's helped me a lot. And, you know, before we get to Bob, I just want to say that there's a stigma around athletes and that you need to always be mentally tough. And this is something that I always thought I had, but it wasn't until I started to work with Bob that I realized, okay, like I was tough mentally and I went through a lot of things, but I also reached a point where I needed help. And fortunately for me and my career, that Bob came into the picture when I needed help, and he really helped me kind of control my emotions, control everything, my feelings and thoughts, and was able to help me continue to play because there was a time, really, even my second year pro, where I didn't want to play. And working with Bob really helped me kind of find some of the joys in hockey again and really, I mean, align, which is part of his, you know, slogan and his title, Align Your Mind, align my mind into what I wanted to achieve out of hockey. So I'm really pleased to have Bob on the podcast and really to hear all about what he does and who he is. So Bob, thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks for asking me to join you guys. It's great. And thanks for sharing your story, Jamie. It's, you know, it's hard for guys like you to be vulnerable, right? It's hard to admit when there's something wrong. So I'm glad that we met, and I've loved the last 3 years working with you. And yeah, it's great. So thanks for having me on.
So tell us basically a little bit of your background and really what sparked your interest into doing what you do and working with athletes and trying to get their mind and body performing at maximum capacity.
Well, it's quite a long story, but I'll abbreviate it a little bit. You know, I'm trained in neuro-linguistic programming. So it's NLP basically is the language of the mind. It's how our conscious mind really how our conscious mind speaks with our unconscious mind. neurologically. So it's about really about our thoughts and emotions. It's how our unconscious minds are programmed. Programmed when we're small, there's a lot of baggage that we carry from our traumas. So my training is based around the language of our mind. It really is all about aligning your consciousness, your thoughts, your wants, your desires, your dreams, your actions, with your unconscious mind, where all of our behaviors lie, where all of our talent exists. I'm going to create a business and help guys just like you, Jamie, right? Like, cause I know I'm an older guy. I've been around, and I know that we are not going to be at our best if we are confused on the inside, if we are hurting on the inside, if we do not know how to manage our mind. And I'm not just talking about everyday mind management. I'm talking about at an elite level, no matter what you do, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a sales director, whether you're a goaltender in the NHL, it doesn't matter what you do. You really know how to control your mind and your emotions when it matters the most. And, I always teach my athletes right away focus training, which is really to find the present moment so they can start learning what it feels like to respond with intention rather than react. Because how do we know what's wrong unless we can identify it? So we have to be very mindful first to be able to understand that, wow, I'm reacting to all of these situations and I'm overreacting and I'm not reacting in the best version of me. So, you know, all of this tied in, I realized that there's such an importance to athletes and young athletes, especially now that I'm in this business. I see a lot of young athletes that are coming up that've got, you know, great physiques, great talent. They're muscular, they're beasts of athletes, but you know, their mind is still 17. Their mind is still 21. So it's a real passion for me to help show young athletes of all different sports, not just hockey players, but in any sport, how to really get very mentally strong at an elite level.
That's something that I want to jump on right away, because what you said sure. at the beginning when you were kind of describing why you got into this was you felt a lack of control, a lack of clarity. And that's something that I definitely relate to. And I see a lot of that in athletes that I have worked with throughout the years. And I just want to ask from your point of view, what are some things that you look to as signs in an individual or somebody can look to in themselves as, you know, that they are experiencing a lack of control, a lack of clarity? Because like you said, they can be physically fit. They can be doing the hand eye. They can be doing the foot speed, the yoga, the working out, the on ice portion, but sometimes you can do all those things and still lack the intent. You can still lack, you know, the actual mental clarity of doing things for a specific purpose. It's almost like you're just doing it because this is what I know that I need to be doing. But, you know, you're kind of in the ocean with no paddle.
Yeah, that's right. And that's a great question. So there's so many things there that we could dial in on. But first thing that pops to mind is you got to be mindful. So how do you know internally if you're not where you need to be? If you're overreacting to situations, that's a good sign, right? If you've got emotion in you and someone cuts you off and you lose your mind, that's a pretty good clear indication that you've got something boiling up. If a coach rips you and you feel completely down on yourself and you go home and mope for the rest of the day, that's a good sign that there might be some other emotions going on deep down. The other side of it is, you know, we hear all the time in sports and in life about being present, being in the moment. That's exactly why, Michael, because you need to be in the moment to be aware of what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and what you're doing. And we get so conditioned when we're young, all because we can't run our own lives. We need someone else to tell us where to be, what to do, how to do it, on and on. So we get conditioned to other people's direction. So as we get older, and it's up to us now, when you use your analogy of being in the water without a paddle, it's like, yeah, you know, now it's up to you to be clear on all the details of your life. Well, how do you do that? You don't know how to do it because you've never really had to do it until we reach a certain age or life forces us to go, okay, I'm going to the gym and I'm going through a routine here, but it isn't working for me. Like maybe my body's a little different. Maybe I need a different instructor. Maybe I'm just not getting along with that instructor. right? It could be in terms of diet, whatever it is, you got to have the clarity. You want to be able to be in the moment. And I'm going to run on this topic through our conversation. It's about being in the moment and choosing to respond with an intention, right? With clear details, responding the way you want to respond or reacting. It's one or the other. You're either going to respond to a situation or you're going to react. And a reaction is usually an unwanted reaction. It's usually an uncontrollable, unconscious reaction. So if you can be mindful and understand, okay, I'm having all of these experiences, my reactions aren't serving me very well, I'm not getting ahead in life, that's a good sign that you need to sit back and go, okay, well, what is it that I'm not clear on? What am I doing? And why am I doing things? Right? What's my purpose? Why am I even going to the gym if I'm not happy going to the gym and not seeing results? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an athlete, and you know, since you were young, Jamie, you've been told where to be and where to be in the bus and when practices, like you get told what to do. And unless you have your own clarity on, okay, am I going to go to practice and just go through the motions, which is kind of what a lot of us at a young age do. Until you get to be an elite level, then you're not looking at practice as just hanging around with the boys. You're going there with an intention, right, Jamie? And when we talk about making teams, when we talk about at a high level, making that college team, being the number one goalie, being the number one starter in the A or in the NHL, you're not showing what you're worth in a game. You're showing what you are worth in a practice. So you got to show up at practice in game mode so you can prove to your coaches that, yeah, you're dialed in. You're ready to go. You're clear. You're focused. That's what they want to see, right? So it's all about intention. It's all about clarity. Are you going to respond with intention or are you reacting? And that's how we start to figure it all out.
So when you get an athlete reaches out to you and says, hey, Bob, I need some help. What are like the most common things? Let's say older athletes. So let's say guys that are playing junior to college to pro. What's the most common thing that you find that needs to be addressed first before you can get to other parts of their game?
Right off the hop, it's the emotional baggage. Usually when you get to junior, college, pro, you've had a few coaches that may have rubbed you the wrong way. You've been through some experiences being away from home that might have rubbed you the wrong way. It's usually those emotional blocks that we work on first. And I know from experience and from doing this on my own too, that it's hard to be focused every day with good daily habits if you're just completely being inundated with reactions, right? Emotions from the past, traumas from the past, the lack of confidence. And a lot of times, like, so to clarify your answer a little bit, usually it's a college player saying, I don't have the confidence. I don't have the confidence to shoot the puck as much as I'm told to shoot the puck. I practice all the time and I'm shooting pucks and I'm scoring goals. And, you know, when it comes to game time, I'm just season up. And that's a fear. And that fear, if we go back, sometimes it's from a coach in, you know, that he had in the USHL that told him he wasn't any good and he shouldn't even be here and kicked him off the team. That experience just completely crushed that kid's confidence. So that trauma, that emotional trauma is still left with them. The residue of that emotion is still there. And that's how our brain works. It's going to be there to protect us from those future things from happening. But in the case of our lives now, and in sports and in, you know, we have to let go of all of that stuff. We have to let go of our past. We have to be in the moment and be good now and not let the residue experiences and the emotions take us over. So the first thing I do is ask, what's wrong? How you feeling? What's that feeling? Describe it to me. Where's it coming from? When was the first time you felt that? Or when was the last time you felt that fear, that anxiety, that sadness, whatever it might be? And we start dealing with all the emotional baggage right away.
And it's when you're explaining it, someone might be listening to our listeners out there. You might think, well, I don't think I have any baggage. Yeah, I thought that too. And I start to work with you and you're very good at getting to the root of the issue because like, I don't know. And so our work together is a whole other podcast episode that we can have, especially just the two of us might be a good content. But
Can I tie this in for a second, Jamie? Yep. Sorry to cut you off there, but I think I know what you're getting at. And athletes don't even know that they have these emotions. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. But to go back to the question at the start, how do you know? Well, you got to be mindful. You got to know if you're showing up at practice, feeling it or not. You got to be aware. You got to know when the coach says something, are you really listening? Are you attentive? Do you trust that guy? Or are you just, I fucking hate that guy, right? Like, what are you saying in your head? What are you feeling? You got to be mindful. Mm-hmm. What your body is telling you are the answers. So to your point, Jamie, like, I think that was the question you were going to ask.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was just going to say, like, for me, the gate, when I turned pro and I was now playing for money and a job, the game changed, but I didn't realize that subconsciously for me that I had some roadblocks, as we called them, around myself and money. And, you know, that was instilled growing up and I didn't know these things. And so when I approached the game, now I have this internal stressor where I'm like, I don't want to mess up because I don't want to stop getting paid. I like my job. I want to keep it going. But then that was in my own head. And I didn't know that until we started to work together. And then so for me, like, that was a big roadblock we had to overcome before we could get to other things, which I find through a lot of hockey specific sports psychs that I've seen and, you know, books, it's no one really talks about that. It's like, okay, let's, you know, stand up straight, feel confident, you know, say confident things, you know, do this, do that, set your ABCs of things you're good at. Instead, we can do all those things, but they don't work as well if you have an anchor kind of dragging along the bottom of the sea and kind of holding your performance back. So I think that it sounds, so for people listening going back, like, you might not know it, but that's why it's great to work with someone like Bob, whose job it is to ask you questions and get you going and get you talking. Because when we started doing it in your apartment, all of a sudden I was saying things and you're like, stop, let's go back. And then I realized that, okay, like, there's something there. And then we work on it. And what I get, and it's crazy, is it does start to go away. And then you can start to focus on the next part and the next part. And you gradually walk those steps up to where you need to be.
Yeah. That's yeah. Well said. And look how long it took for us to find, for that thing of money to come up. It took months into our coaching before that story popped up. And I was like, hey, let's dial in on that. How do you make, because you're not always telling me after a game when you're feeling it, where it's coming from. You're talking about the details and I'm trying to see past the details to go, okay, what are you really feeling here? Is it a lack of self-confidence? Is it, where's the fear leading? Right. So that's why I ask you those questions, and you're absolutely right. And I like your analogy, dragging your anchor on the bottom. That's exactly what it feels like. And I said it earlier, once you can get rid of your emotional baggage, then it is so much easier to focus on the now and be good and be ready and having good habits, because you're not being held back.
I wanted to jump in on what Jamie had said. Our brains are kind of default negative in order to protect ourselves, I would say. I look for myself at when I have a landscaping job coming up, I am constantly looking at all of the things that potentially could go wrong and why they could go wrong, how they could go wrong, and what I could do about them. And I remember back to my playing days, if I had a big game, I would often do that with, you know, I know that this type of goal is something that, you know, I give up quite often. You know, I'm not the best with traffic. So if I get in this situation, you know, I could be letting goals in, and this could be the reason that, you know, we lose the game. And just your brain starts to run away with negative thoughts. And having negative thoughts is not always, I don't think it's always a bad thing, because that it does in some degree prepare you for certain negative situations, and we all experience negative things. So if you have an athlete that is constantly kind of thinking negative and going too far on the negative side, how do you, like, break the cycle and kind of get them to see, you know, the positive side and the detriment of going default negative all the time?
Yeah. And I like your words, default negative, because that's kind of what it is. It is the fight or flight fear response. You know, when someone, so to start off, we talk about, you know, that self-talk, what emotion is that? That's the first thing I'm going to ask. So what is your self-talk? You're going to tell me what that is. You're going to feel an emotion. I want you to feel that emotion, because I want to ask you what it is, and you need to feel it, right? And to your point, Michael, it's about contrast. How do you know what's wrong unless you know what's wrong? right? Unless you know that this is not serving you, how do you know to fix it? So what's that emotion? Is that a root? Is that something rooted in your past that we need to fix? If it is, we'll work on it. Then sometimes that self-talk becomes easier. But then right away, within the same sentence, without even me taking a breath, I'll also say, you're pushing yourself to be negative, starting with all of that self-talk. Got to get rid of that right away. Now that's being conditioned because of your experiences, but that's where you got to go, okay, this isn't going to serve me. That's not how I need to control my mind. You know, if you let your mind control you, all of that stuff is going to happen. But when you learn how your mind works a little bit and you realize the importance of your self-talk, we've all heard that, but when you really, really, truly get that your words create an emotion, whether you're saying it in your head or whether you're saying it out loud, whether you hear it, it creates an emotion. So your self-talk is automatically creating that negativity. And when our body is feeling an emotion, it generates thoughts equal to that emotion. You've heard that many times before too, hey, Jamie? Oh, right? Yeah. So if you're feeling shitty, you're going to think that way. If you're feeling angry, you're going to think that way. So if you are doing it in the moment and you want to change it, you know, we talk about responding. And this is a good lead-in because you want to respond. Well, if you're in the moment and you don't want to react and you want to respond, how do you respond with intention in the moment when you don't know what's happening? We need to front load that. We need to prepare and program our unconscious mind. For you, Michael, let's just use your example. If you're in goal and you have a game coming up and you're thinking, okay, if there's loose pucks in front of the net, like I don't feel good about that. Well, stop it right there. Replay that. If that happens or when that happens in your next game, what are you going to say to yourself? How are you going to start changing the narrative, right? What are you going to look at? We talk about details and clarity, right? So are you in not in position? How come you can't cover the puck? What's up? Are you communicating with your defense partners? Are they taking their guys? How could you do your job the best? Communication, good technical skills, good positioning, all of that with good self-talk to make sure that you're not going to let in those greasy goals. Right. So it all starts there. It's about really programming the future and seeing it the way you want it to play out. You want to feel that moment. You want to hear yourself with your own self-talk in that moment. Mm-hmm. That really programs and starts to front load your unconscious mind. So when you're in the game and you just need to be present and you really need to be a part of the environment, then you can allow all of those pre-programmed situations just to run off. So now you're reacting with a response that's intentional, not just reacting out of, you know, something unconscious that you didn't even know was there.
Yeah. I really appreciate the distinction that you're making between reacting and responding. Cause the way that it's kind of registering in my mind is when you are reacting, you're submitting control to your unconscious mind and saying, whatever I'm feeling, that's just what I'm feeling. There's nothing I can do about it. And my emotions are right at the surface and they're just coming out. But responding is more like being aware that you do have control over those thoughts. And just because you're feeling it doesn't automatically make it true. Just because you're feeling it doesn't automatically mean that you have to respond based on those feelings. You can take a step back, take inventory of what you're thinking, say, okay, is this serving me or am I kind of doing this to myself here?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. But let's pull on that a little bit more. Let's pull on that thread a little bit more. Especially as goaltenders at a high level, everything is a reaction. You're not thinking about a shot and then thinking about, okay, take a breath. How can I respond to say, it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
So everything really is a reaction. However, if you're reacting without a detailed, intentional response, then that's sort of the bucket that I've put that in. That's just reacting unintentionally. And most of the time that's going to be from an emotional place. But if you can realize and look at your game and think, okay, where am I reacting? Where do I need to have more control? Where do I need to find the moment more? Where do I need to respond with intention more? When you can find those spots, then you can sit down and you could use other mental tools like mental rehearsals and mental imagery to program your unconscious. So you sit in your chair and you think about the scenario, about how you're going to communicate with your D, how you're going to cover that puck when you can, how you're going to be in good position, all of the technical parts, the good self-talk, you know, I've got this, you're a great goalie, right? You're going to get whatever that might be for you. You want to pre-program all of that into your mind. The thing is that when we can see and feel and hear a very vivid picture in our mind, we're actually tricking our unconscious mind to believe that we're having that experience, even though we might be sitting in a chair, we might not be having that experience. So if you can front load the perfect version of you with self-talk and emotion over and over and over again, do the mental reps. Now, all of a sudden, when you're in the moment in that game and all that stuff is happening at a very fast level, now you're going to react with an intentional response, right? Jamie, we did that a lot. What are you going to say to yourself after you let in a goal? What are you going to say to yourself when your team lets you down and, you know, backdoor goal in the first 45 seconds of the game, and then a minute later you're down 2-0? Like, that stuff happens. So what are you going to say to yourself? Are you just going to be mad at your team because they didn't take their guys and they weren't ready? That's BS. You can't do that, right? So Jamie, if you're a pro, you're going to communicate like a pro. You're going to play like a pro. You're going to think like a pro. You're going to prepare like a pro.
That's exactly
it. Part of all of this is, so if you're going to react, you better be reacting with intention and be clear on what you need to do.
And so when you say front loading, some people might not know what that means. Can you talk about, because front loading isn't one thing. It encompasses a lot of things, from visualization to positive self-talk. Can you just kind of define what front loading is for younger athletes out there?
Yeah, so simply front loading is just preparing your mind. It's programming your mind. So just like you've been conditioned with all your muscle memory and goal, that's been a front load. You've front loaded your mind to react in that moment. It's front loaded. If you're doing something in the moment that's very spontaneous and in the now, that's really not front loaded, because it's like, this conversation is not front loaded. We've had some topics and stuff that we've sort of, but it's very organic. It's very authentic. That's not front loading. Front loading is looking at the future and going, how do I want to act? How do I want to be? What do I want to say? And then front loading it, or programming your unconscious mind. So when you're in that future event, your mind already has some details. That's the thing, is our mind is always looking at, hey, have we been in this situation before? Is there anything here that we need to be afraid of or worried about, or that has hurt us in the past, right? Mm-hmm. So if you've been ripped by a coach when you're a younger goalie and it hurts you, just stepping on the ice every time is going to make you remember that feeling, right? Because your brain goes, well, I remember this. This is hockey. Oh, yeah, hockey brought me that pain, right? That's a quick example, but that's been front-loaded. So everything has been already primed into your unconscious mind. So when we talk about front loading, it's about preparing, priming, programming, whatever word that you want to use. It's getting our unconscious mind the details and the experience before the experience happens.
And that encompasses everything from visualization to your thoughts, to your self-talk, to your actual verbal talk. Like, everything all comes and it doesn't happen at once. Everything is trained individually, but that's front loading encompasses all aspects of preparation to prepare.
That's right.
That doesn't make sense. Preparation to prepare. Preparation to perform.
Preparation to perform. That's just it. Because when you're performing, you got to worry about being in the now. And you have to allow whatever comes at you to react with intention. So it takes a lot of experience and a lot of work internally to prepare your mind. Now, when you front load, Jamie, for the people that have never done this before, when you front load, there's a tool or a technique that we call, and you've all heard about it, visualizations. I don't like that word, because visualize sort of only means that, or insinuates that you're only seeing a picture in your mind. But to really program your unconscious mind properly and to front load it properly, you need to see it, feel it, hear it. So Jamie's talking about encompassing it all. You got to see that picture. You got to see the future you. What are you going to say to yourself in that moment? What are you going to feel in that moment? And in the chair, when you're doing it, you close your eyes and you actually feel what you're going to say to yourself and feel how it's going to feel when you get scored on. What are you going to do? What's your self-talk? What's your routine? How are you going to get reset? You mentally rehearse that in your own mind. So to Jamie's point, you use all of your senses to program and front load your mind properly. If you're just seeing a picture, it's going to take a long time to get there.
Let's talk a little bit more about visualization, because, you know, we're going to have you on the Zoom call that's, you know, exclusive for our goalies. And this is something that is going to benefit them, but it's going to benefit the listeners too, is especially as goalies, we hear you got to visualize making the save, visualize this. Patrick Waugh would visualize this and blah, 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 blah. You hear that and you're like, okay, like I'm just going to sit here and pretend I'm making saves. And that's what I used to do. But when we started working together, like you just said, we talk about feelings, thoughts, and then things like smell and scent and all these things that like you don't think of. So how would, if you were going to outline the proper way to front load visualization for a young goalie or just someone who's new to mental training, how would you kind of set them up to prepare to do it right rather than just turning the wheels and not getting anywhere?
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, that's a really good question. And how I do that is, when I explain that when you're front loading your mind, you're creating what I call a future memory. So you're creating all the details of something that hasn't happened yet. You're seeing it, you're feeling it, right? You're experiencing it before it happens. Just like an old memory. So when I start working with younger athletes, I ask them to, and this is what they're doing right now before their season starts, go back to old games where you've played great. Think of those games where you were invincible. Think of the games where you made those 49 saves with a shutout, right? Whatever that game is for you. And think about it. Because when you bring up an old memory, what's going on there? Well, you're seeing a picture, you're seeing the actions, you're hearing what was heard, you're seeing what was saw, you're feeling what you felt then, right? You're feeling those moments of making that big save and then the crowd and fans and all of that. Like you can feel that very vividly with an old memory. And it doesn't even have to be in hockey. It could be your first date with your girlfriend. It could be the time you went to the fair, right? Like anything, you're going to feel it. So front loading your mind is very much the same. So I teach young guys to feel it like it's already happened, right? And then as soon as you say that, it's very easy to go, oh yeah, this is what I want to happen in my future. Like George right now is just itching to go for a pee. So I'm going to have to let him out here for a second. But you know, you want to be able to feel that future moment. You want to be able to feel it. You want to be able to get so engrossed in it. You want to trick your brain. And when you do this well, that's why visualization's never really worked very well for you, Philly, because you're just seeing the picture. You got to feel those moments. That's what our unconscious mind really, that's how you brand it, is with us, a visual and a feeling. That's really what stamps your unconscious mind. So when you can see yourself in the future making big saves and you can feel it and you can hear the crowd and you can feel the water after you make that save, like those are all little things that are going to happen that just tell your brain that you're being successful. You're being successful. You're being successful. Right. And the more reps you do, then it's like your brain doesn't know the difference. It doesn't know if you're actually having that experience or not. So it's all about your senses. It's about seeing it, smelling it works for a lot of people too, right? To get present. I think I've told you as well, Philly, when you're in net, like even just feeling your body inside of your equipment and wiggling it around a little bit, even wiggling your toes and your skates, gives you a sense of like you're the center of the universe when you're in net and you got the bowl in front of you. You get really grounded. And when you take a big breath and you smell your own equipment and you smell the ice and you smell that environment, it grounds you to that moment. So all senses are very, very powerful. And in mental rehearsals, I mean, it's, you really got to do it. So to teach the younger guys, I just go back to ask them to think about old memories, get them used to seeing and feeling and hearing experiences.
Go let your dog out, and then we'll pick back up.
Yeah, I think he might have heard you. Are you pinching it, bud?
Derek, that's one that you say all the time. Anytime, I've heard you say many times to goalies that are struggling mentally or, you know, are lacking confidence, you say, what's the best game you ever played? Remember that game, you're still that goalie. You haven't gotten worse. Whenever that game was, if anything, you got better. So from your point of view, like what was it that made you use that as a cue? Because it's one that I have stolen from you and I really like. So where'd that come from and why is that one that you went to?
I can't remember where I got that from. It's definitely, I definitely got that passed on to me from somebody. But it's something that I have used in the past and it works pretty well. And I don't remember exactly when it was, but it's especially when I have guys that I don't get to see all the time, I'll get a text or a call, or we're just kind of talking or shooting the shit. And it's, if they're struggling, that's where they say, remember the last game or remember the best game that you've ever played. And for most guys, if they think about it for a second, they automatically can find it right away because it is instilled and it's there. Like, I haven't played a game in 15 years and I still remember the best game I ever played. And I'm proud of that game. So I can, just like you said, I can pull those memories and I can still smell it, feel it. So a lot of what you're saying really resonates with me. But it works in the past is, and it works well for those guys that go back. And I'll even say, like, if they're really struggling, pull it up. The internet is a wonderful tool because they can pull it up and they can actually watch that game. And then it brings them back into the moment and they can use that to carry over, and whether it's their fighting confidence or struggling to find a routine. But I have a question, and I haven't been saying much because I'm writing all this down because I'm learning as we're going, because this, to me, this is out of my lane, and I'm trying to learn as we go too. But if you're an elite goalie, so say we're between 17 and 20 and you're on the fringe or on the doorstep of making the jump to the next level, whether it's into professional hockey or college hockey, and I go back to what Jamie said, is he didn't know he had an emotional baggage and he wasn't sure what was going on. How do those kids decide that they need help? What do they have to look for in themselves to make that decision that they need to reach out to somebody like you to help them with this part of their game?
It's a good question. And I don't know if I have the answer for that. If I did, I wouldn't have time to be speaking with you guys because there's so many great hockey players out there that are, like you said, they're in the WHL, they're drafted, they're feeling amazing. And wouldn't you? I mean, Jamie, when you were ripping it in college, you felt great. You didn't think that, you didn't have a care in the world. So typically what happens is that they either become mindful within themselves, or they have a parent or a coach saying, hey, you know what? You need to go get that worked on. That behavior, that's not good. So there's awareness, mindfulness about I'm not feeling right. Sometimes life, if you don't listen to the signs, life will give you more harsh realities to get your attention. You know, there's something in the media that just happened last week with young hockey players and guys getting kicked off their teams because they were acting like children. And even though it was offline and in a private conversation, that kind of stuff just can't happen. So, you know, that's life giving them a hard lesson to get them to wake the hell up. And so, you know, and the other thing is podcasts like this. It's social, it's using these platforms to share with these guys that are watching that you might feel amazing, but we're all human. Our brains all work the same, even though we're conditioned, we have different experiences, we have different emotions. Our brains really do work the same. So I want everyone to know that there's always something that you can work on. Now, maybe you don't have a lot of trauma. Maybe you don't have trauma that's coming up and you don't have those big anchors dragging on the bottom of the ocean. That's great. It's one less thing to work on. But if you don't know how your mind works, how could you work your mind? How could you work your mind? If you don't know how to be in the moment, knowing that being in the moment and being present is essential for an elite athlete, like we all know that. Guys out there know that right now. But could you get better at it? Could you do it longer? Could you do it more? Could you do it more efficiently? Could you be a better you in each and every moment? Right? There's learnings there that they don't even know that they don't know. So it's thanks to platforms like this that we can have these conversations and share with guys. Like Jamie, you had life kind of give you, your apple cart got turned over and that's what led you to me. Other than that, you may not have ever met me. Mm-hmm. But there's some guys out there that are having the time of their life right now, playing in the dub, they're drafted, they're, you know, they're scoring leaders on their team. They can still get better. Your mind is extremely powerful. And if their abilities and their physique and their skill got them to that level, imagine how good they could be if they got their mind at that level, if they got their mind at an elite pro level where they know how to get mentally prepared, they know how to mentally perform, and they know how to mentally recover, right? That's at an elite level. Everybody has to learn that. You don't just have it. So to answer your question, Derek, I don't know how to shake the information into those guys because they all need it. sometimes it's life forces them to seek out help. But, you know, thanks to you guys, you're putting out these Zoom calls and podcasts and different ways to, from your experiences and our experiences, to share with guys that, hey, you know what, you don't have all the answers. And the more you can understand yourself in any part of your life, the more you can understand yourself, the better you're going to be.
Let's talk a little bit more about focus, because you mentioned being in the moment, and everyone's told you need to focus, and you can only prepare, you can only play your best if you're focused and in the zone. So if you could kind of dive in a little bit more, like, what really is focus? And then I want you to kind of elaborate a little bit more on brainwaves, because I have a really good example to use when we talk about brainwaves. So I just really want to, because when we started working together, the way you rephrase and formatted focus in my mind was completely different than what I thought. Because I used to think you just, you know, you go out, you focus, or I'm not feeling it, it's just not one of those days. Let's just get through the game, try to let more than four in, and we'll chalk it up to tomorrow. So let's talk more about focus and how do people really focus and stay in the moment?
Well, I mean, for me, my definition of focus is the ability to put your attention on one thing for as long as you need to. That might be studying. I'm a musician. I used to play a lot on stage. For me, focus was getting up on stage, knowing every chord, knowing every word, knowing all my keys, all my cues, and really just falling into being that guy that everyone's watching. But as soon as I took my attention off of that and looked at the people looking at me, is when I'd make a mistake, or I'd say something, or I'd come in a little late. So to me, focus is about capturing the moment and putting your attention on that one thing that you're focused upon. Now, in terms of brainwaves, for me, when I learned brainwaves in school, it was like a game changer for me, because I thought, wow, this affects everything in our life, everything. Performance, preparation, recovery, front loading, it's all about brainwaves, if you know what brainwaves are and how they work. And it's so simple because there's only five, right? So there's all these different levels that your brain is going to float in. So if you're stressed out, if you're overthinking, if you're anxious, your brain is going to be vibrating in beta. So it's going to, you know, the waves are really going to be sort of like that. When you're an athlete or a musician or a performer, or you want to be at your best and allow everything that you front loaded to come out naturally, then your mind needs to be an alpha. Alpha is a little bit more calm. So those waves would kind of look like this. When you mentally rehearse, or when you're hypnotized, or when you're meditating, your brain waves are a little slower. Okay, so that would be a theta wave. When you're sleeping, it's in delta, so then those waves are really slow. So if we understand the different cycles of waves, we realize that, okay, if I'm overthinking and my mind is learning and I'm using that neocortex part of my brain, which is really your thinking brain, then your mind is going to be in beta. So Jamie, when we talked about just understanding those different levels, you could feel when you overthink, right? Everybody can feel when they're overthinking things, they feel a little anxious. That's a good sign that, oh, my mind is in beta. Okay, but I've got to go out and play a hockey game. I got to calm that down. So then we use things like meditation, right? When you meditate, what do? And I don't call my stuff actually meditation, because I think that's such a vast, huge word that covers a lot of stuff. I like focus training, because I teach my athletes how to focus on their breath, let go of everything else. So Michael, going back to self-talk, going back to the things that you say to yourself when you're in the moment that you need to be mindful of, it takes a long time before you can just go, okay, here it is, and then front load it. When you're overthinking, your mind is in beta, your self-talk is all over the place, you're not really focused on one thing. So the focus training that I teach is focus on your breath and practice and prime your mind and get your mind comfortable with not engaging in that thought. It's like you just let it pass, right? Focus on your breath. Then another thought will pop up, and then you let that pass and you focus on your breath. And the more you do that, then you start to condition your mind to focus on one thing. And I use this analogy all the time with my athletes. You know, George here is a year old. when I first got him, he didn't know how to sit. He didn't know how to go to the door, right? He didn't know how to shake a paw. We had to teach him. So how do you do that? Well, you say, George, sit. You push down his bum and you show him what a sit looks like. And you tell him to stay. And then he's going to get up and walk away. And then what do? We put him back down, say, no, sit. And you keep telling the dog to sit. Then eventually the dog just sits. Well, it's the same thing as your brain. Tell it to not think about that or this and that and the other thing and just focus on your breath. Let it go. Practice letting it go. And the more you can do that, and when you do that, first of all, your brain waves lower, right? So that's how you lower your brain waves. So in terms of recovering, I know I'm jumping back and forth here, but when we recover at night, right, Jamie, after a game, you're on a bus, you're buzzing, you're wired, you got a lot going on, even though your body is tired, there's a lot going on mentally. Well, we know that you're not going to get a good sleep if your mind is in beta. Your mind has to cycle down to the theta, delta to get a real good brain sleep and a real good rest, mental rest. So by lowering our brain waves through a meditation or a focus training, because when we do a focus training, we force that conscious part, all the part that wants to think, we shut all of that down and just focus on our breath. That forces our brain waves down. So you and I have had this conversation on, you know, when you're driving home on the bus and you're sleeping, right? Put on a meditation, lower your brain waves. So when you walk into your apartment at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can just pass right out rather than crash, right? You don't want to crash. Crashing is your body's crashing. Your head can't take anymore. You're passed out, but your mind is still like the RPMs are still running. You want to be able to lower those brain waves and get them down to that meditation level, that place where you feel nice and calm and relaxed. So when you do jump into bed, your brain doesn't have too far to go before it starts to get that real good sleep. So when you understand brain waves and you understand some focus, you know, we went all over the place here, but that's how it relates to focus, the brain waves. And that's how I teach, focus. And that's what focus means to me.
I just wanted, like, because my point there that I tried to lead you to drink on was, so with Derek, we've worked with a researcher at McMaster University, Dr. Kim, who specializes in focus, like brainwave training, kind of the same thing, brainwave training and focusing for athletes. But she's a researcher, she's at Mac, she has all these resources. And so her studies that she does and publishes, they have to put electrodes on the brain and really record the brainwaves. And so I started working with Bob before we did this. So kind of, I thought, all right, this is kind of like hocus pocus. Like, yeah, like brainwaves, this, sure. I'll humor you. I'll do it. But when we started to work with Dr. Kim, she didn't describe it the way you did. She didn't really talk about brainwaves. She would just hook me up to the electrodes and said, focus on this thing. And it was incredibly easy to do. And the numbers that I was putting up were significantly higher than someone who was supposed to be a beginner. And she thought I was a beginner because I'd never done this before. But the things that you had taught, they actually create real tangible numbers that can be calculated on a computer and they work. So that's why when we worked with Dr. Kim, a lot of my numbers kind of were through the roof on a lot of things, and they continue to grow as we train that more. So it really was an eye opener that I was like, okay, we're taking, you know, my mental coach, you said all these things, and now we're putting them to an actual scientific, like a researcher is doing this, collecting data, and it's proving. And then I was like, okay, this stuff has to actually work. And for me, that was as a numbers guy and someone who's kind of like a scientist with, you know, that's how I've always been a nerd like that, to see and actually have tangible data was like, okay, like he's not just some kooky guy that's sometimes that sports psychs or brain coaches, mental coaches always get a bad rep for that. It's just real. This is real numbers. And so that's why I wanted to talk about that. And so like the brain waves and the focus training it's a real thing. And if you have the tools to measure it, you can measure it.
Yeah. And thank you for saying that, because a lot of people are a little skeptical. And, you know, when I first thought, you know, I want to be a coach, I want to teach people, I want to help other people. I was taught that there's, you know, different types of coaches. There's coaches that just learn stuff and pass along the knowledge. There's coaches that gain experience and pass on their experience. And there's a whole bunch of different levels. When I first started to do this, I would hear these things too. And I'm very much like you, Jamie. When I understood, or when I learned, when I was taught about brain waves. I thought that seems very simplistic. Seems very easy. How come we don't already know this? Like, how come everybody doesn't already apply this? Because it seems so simple. But I've, you know, I do my investigations too. And the things, everything that I've taught you and I teach all my athletes all have a scientific background, every single one of it. Like, it comes from science, because I can't, you know, living according to my values and my integrity, I can't just go, well, this works for me, I don't know why, but here, try this. There's some science behind everything that I do. However, not everybody wants to hear the scientific part of brainwaves and cells and energy and, you know, all of that. So I try to keep it simple, because I work with a lot of different guys. And I had somebody in hockey who's one of my very good friends, that he said, you know what, Bob, like, nobody needs to know the details. They just want to know how to get it done. So I'm like, you know what, that's good advice. So I kind of simplify it to, here's your five brainwaves, here's how it works. And thanks for sharing how effective it is. Like, so I remember you telling me that, Jamie, that you had, I remember that day that you told me that. And I remember thinking to myself, well, don't seem so surprised, because I already taught you this. And all of a sudden you'd get hooked up to a machine and you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to tell Bob. It's like, yeah, thanks, buddy.
Numbers don't lie. I don't know what you want.
Yeah, but you're right, right? Like, so you see, when you do let go of all of those different thoughts and focus on one thing, you're actually lowering your brain waves if you can keep your focus and your attention on that one thing. That's why breath work is so important, because if you hear, like, they don't tell you brain waves, they don't talk about numbers. They just say, focus on your breath, let go of your thoughts. There's so much going on internally, but it's very powerful.
Anyone have any final questions before we wrap up?
No, I have a dictionary in front of me.
Yeah, I'm good. I really enjoyed this.
I will not be able to dissect myself.
Yeah, that's great. And thanks for having me on, you guys. I mean, I love having these conversations. I like to dial in and drill down on the tools and the techniques that we use. I think there's a lot of players out there that have speakers come into their dressing room and into their clubs and, you know, sports psych guys, and talk about, you know, how to be mentally strong, how to be tough, where you need to be, the concepts, the philosophies. They're all super important.